listening to the CCA Podcast.
Thank you for being here on a Sunday morning. How fun is this? Best place to be. Thank you so much. And thank you. How fun is this to be together? Well, I'm Ryan. I'm the lead pastor here with my wife, Linnea. You've already met her beautiful face this morning, and we're just so delighted that you're here with us. This is my favorite day of the week. I love Sundays because I get to hang out with you, my friends, and my family. Welcome to church. We're all about one thing here at Calvary. We're all about Jesus. Helping as many people as we possibly can, starting here in Seattle, which is sunny today, hallelujah, and around the world, find and follow Jesus. Isn't it exciting to be something that's bigger than us? The kingdom of God is really cool. So welcome. We're just so delighted you're here. We're going to be looking at a really neat passage of scripture this morning. This week marks our last week in our Christmas at Calvary sermon series. This morning, the message is titled, Dear Future Self, ... Dear Future Self. Did you know this is the last week in a tremendous decade? Wow. We're moving into 2020. Whether you want to or not, we're going. We're going there. We don't have a choice, do we? So we may as well get on the same page as Jesus and know what all he wants to do in 2020. Open your Bibles if you have them. By the way, if you need a Bible, we have one available for you readily in the church lobby at the guest stop. Meet us there after service if you need a Bible. I encourage all of our church family, bring a Bible with you, whether it's on your phone or in your hand this way. I like holding it in my hand because, as you can see, I like circling things and highlighting things and writing in the margins, and it's just a lot of fun. But this morning, we're looking at Luke, the 24th chapter, starting at the 44th verse. I will read it as such. This is in regards to Jesus' ascension, okay? 44th verse says this. He said to them, speaking of Jesus, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. That's been my prayer all week, that he would open our minds so we could understand what he's wanting to communicate. Then he told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things," Jesus said. "I am going to send you what my Father has promised." He's speaking of the Holy Spirit there. He says, "But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he, speaking of Jesus, led them out to the vicinity of Bethlehem. This is when he led them out of 2019 into 2020, right? This is that moment of Jesus leading us out of something into something else. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands, and what did he do? Scripture says he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. He ascended. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This morning, the big idea is Jesus offers hope for tomorrow. You could say Jesus offers hope for 2020. Our response to his leading today determines our future. So the other week, I took my son, Gavin, to see Ford versus Ferrari. Has anyone seen that movie? Pretty cool movie, right? Based on true events. And when we got out of the movie, I don't know about you, those that saw the movie, based on Ken Miles, and we got out of the movie, and it was like, where's a racetrack? I got to go drive something fast. I mean, it was just a fast-paced motion picture, and you got out of the movie wanting to go race. You know, one of my cars is a manual transmission, and so I can't really drive real fast around town. I would need a racetrack to drive like I want to drive with that stick shift. But I'm curious this morning, are there any people in here who know how to drive a manual? Okay, that's really cool. That's awesome. You know, it's funny because the more I talk to people, a lot of people don't. It's they drive automatic cars now is mostly what they sell. And so I remember those who know how to drive a manual transmission. Do you remember being taught how to drive a stick shift? You remember that? Who taught you? I didn't understand a word you said. There's like a million different answers. But my dad taught me. My dad taught me how. And I remember when he taught me how to drive a stick shift. And I remember there was one thing that I learned real quick. If you don't shift gears, you will either burn out, right? Or you will stall. Right? Both killing your momentum, Ryan, and your potential to move forward. Right? Would you agree? It's funny because as I think of moving into 2020, it's the same thought process of driving a stick shift. It's if you don't shift gears, Ryan, you will either burn out or you will stall. Both killing your momentum and your potential to move forward. So this morning, real quick, with that simple analogy, I want to give you five gears to shift through with Jesus. Five gears to shift through with Jesus. Gear number one, follow Jesus wherever he leads. And you can take notes if you want. We provided you a paper inside of your bulletin to do just that. Gear number one, switching in. Shifting in. Follow Jesus wherever he leads you. In conversation, scripture says it this way. It says, he went on to open their understanding of the word of God. Scripture says Jesus was showing them how to read their Bibles. Dear future self, follow Jesus wherever he leads. Where's Jesus leading you, church? Come on, think of your personal relationship with Jesus. Where is he leading you? I've found that it's kind of hard to know where he's leading me if I rarely ever talk with him. That's why I love my coffee time with Jesus in the morning. Every morning, I have a 5 o'clock standing appointment in the morning, standing appointment with Jesus. I brew some coffee. I talk to him about life. And he impresses things in my spirit. But where is he leading you? How's your coffee time with Jesus? Or tea time with Jesus? Or where is he leading you in this new year? Dear future self, don't allow the business of every day and the busyness of life steal your coffee time with Jesus. Dear future self, follow Jesus wherever he leads. I love how Bob Goff says it. He says, it's hard to walk with Jesus and run ahead of him at the same time. We've got to find his pace, in other words. We have to take time to talk with him and know where he's leading. It's then that he shows us how to read our Bibles, that he, as scripture says, opens our minds and gives us insight. Where are you willing to follow Jesus in 2020? You heard from the heart of Christian Downs, one of our local missionaries we're starting to support. In January, you heard from him where Jesus is leading him, where he's willing to follow God. Where are you willing to follow Jesus? I would go on to say there are some in this place that have missions in your heart. You just don't know how. Talk to Jesus about that. He'll open your mind and bring understanding. Jesus led his first followers into a very difficult thing. You've got to understand the context of this scripture. He commissioned the first century believers to be his witnesses in a Roman-run city. A city bullied under religious superpower. a city that was terrorizing people under their rule, Jerusalem at the time of Jesus. And he commissioned them to start there. You're going to start there. Before you go anywhere else, start there. As a matter of fact, go back to the city and start there. Scripture says, stay in the city, Jesus said, until you have been clothed with power from on high. So whatever Jesus calls you to, he will equip you to do that very thing. He doesn't say, sink or swim, good luck. When you talk with him, you'll get to find out that he puts something in you, his spirit, that empowers you to do what he's called you to do. I love how Paul says it. Paul says, one of my favorite scriptures, I post it in my bathroom. I post it on my garage door. So as I get in my car in the morning, I always back in. And I get the garage door goes up, and I post it there. I post it on the pillar. I put it in my kids' rooms. It's all over the house. You know what that is? It's a scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is going to give you the strength to do the thing he's called you to do. So he leads them out of and into. We're at that moment now. We're at that moment now. We're coming out of 2019 and going in to 2020. Dear future self, 5 gears to shift through with Jesus. Number 1, follow Jesus wherever he leads. Gear number 2, shifting into. Live confident with the blessing of Jesus. Live confident with the blessing of Jesus. Scripture says he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Say, I'm blessed. The same blessing he gave them, he gives you. But think with me, don't you think, use your imagination in this text, don't you think the first century followers felt a bit frightened having been through everything they had? I mean, think with me. Following Jesus, expecting the kingdom of God to look distinctly different. Jesus said, my kingdom is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul articulates. But them thinking he's going to come and he's going to overrule the Roman government and it's going to be awesome. Jesus is king and they had a different picture of what it would play out and look like. But then they watched the person they're following murdered on a cross. Well, wouldn't that frighten you? This guy I've given my life to, now he's dead? Wait, what? 3 days later, the women go to the tomb. Give it up, ladies. Yay, you beat us there. the women get there, and they come back, and they tell everybody, the tomb's empty, and we saw him. We saw him in the garden. He's risen. He's alive. Now, I know we drank some wine last night, but how much did you drink? Right? I don't know. Or was that pizza? What did you eat? Or what in the world are you thinking? Seriously? I've got to put my finger in his palm and I have to feel the piercings in order for me to believe. You tell me he's alive. Do you have doubts? Do you have questions? You're not alone. The first century believers are right there. They ask the same questions you and I ask in this journey of getting to know Jesus. Don't you think they would have been frightened? And now all of a sudden, they're with Jesus again, and then he floats up to heaven. I mean, I don't know about you, but I use my imagination there, and it's an amazing encounter, but I'm like, I think I would have been just a little frightened. Have you ever been frightened? It's a different situation and circumstance, I know, in 2019 moving into 2020, but it's the same emotion, okay? It's the same feeling, fright, worry, fear, especially living in a culture that wants nothing to do with Jesus. But despite the pushback that the first century Christians experienced, and it was a lot, David said it this way, surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. That's why the New Testament says, take up the shield of faith, because your faith in Jesus is like a shield. And God surrounds you when you put your faith in him and you believe in him and you take him at his word. He blesses you with favor as with a shield. You can walk out in the world. You can walk out and face your day. You can walk out and face tomorrow with faith, with favor surrounding you, David said. Dr. Troy Jones says it this way: courage is acting and moving forward despite fear and insecurity. Courage, confidence, is acting and moving forward despite fear and insecurity. You see, the same Spirit who lived with the first century church, the same Jesus who died and was buried and he rose from the dead and lives evermore, is in you and promises to be with you always. The same Spirit, the same Jesus. So when I have fright, when I have worry, when I have doubts, when I have fear, I remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 28:20, where he says, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen? Amen. Jesus knows receiving his blessing does one thing. It reframes our thinking about who we are and what we can do. You see, before Jesus ascended, he blessed him. He openly blessed him with his word. Did you know his word blesses me every day? His word speaks into my spirit every day and is available for you and for our city. Dear future self, receiving Jesus' blessing reframes your thinking about who you are and what you can do. It's why I love the priestly prayer, and I pray it over you. I pray the word of God. I bless you with the word of God, church. Every person here this morning, I pray, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord bless you and show you his favor. And may the Lord give you his peace. See, the blessing of the Lord changes how we think about who we are and how we think about what we can do. Dear future self, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. Dear future self, regardless of what you're in the middle of facing, know this. Dear future self, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, because of the opposition, because of the pushback, because of the bullying or the terrifying remarks that come over you or have been spoken of you, that have framed your thinking as a child. Despite the terror, despite the opposition, the Lord your God goes with you. And by the way, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Dear future self, live confident with the blessing of Jesus. Now we're moving into third gear. Five gears to shift through with Jesus. Number one, follow Jesus wherever he leads you. Gear number two, live confident with the blessing of Jesus. Gear number three, lead like Jesus from a prayer posture. Uh-oh, some of us are grinding into third gear, aren't we? How's your prayer life? Listen, I don't come to condemn or shame anyone. I come to encourage you. Scripture says, Luke 24, the chapter we just read, they were on their knees worshiping him. They were on their knees in a posture of prayer worshiping him. Why? Because prayer aligns the way we do things with the way God does things. Prayer aligns the way we do things with the way God does things. I don't know about you, but I want to do things a little bit more his way. I've tried my way a lot. It doesn't work real good. It only gets me so far. Jesus prays. This is how I like to say it this way. Jesus prays, so we pray. Scripture over and over talks about how Jesus prayed. I love this. In Matthew 26, it says, again, I circle that in my Bible, again he prayed. Over and over and over. And did you know in this in particular chapter, you know what he was praying? His prayer over and over and over was, God, if there's any way, get me out of this. It was right before he was crucified. Lord, if there's any way, please, please get me out of this. But God, not my will. I want to do what you want me to do. What is that? It's aligning his way with God's way. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Oh God, if there's any way, get me out of this. What happens in prayer is there's a shift with our momentum. I don't stall. I don't burn out. I get on the same page as God. And just as my father taught me how to drive a stick shift, God will teach you how to stay in third gear and move forward, and your momentum will continue into this new year farther than you've ever gone. I love how Daniel says it. Daniel had prayed. He had prayed and prayed and prayed, and he was waiting for an answer. Finally, an angel visits him in the 9th chapter of Daniel, Old Testament book for those who are new to the faith. And Daniel is talking to the angel. He says, what took you so long? I've been praying about this forever. Here's what the angel said. The angel said, as soon as you began to pray, an answer was given. The angel had been delayed. You see, you and I don't see what's going on in the spiritual realm. Our minds can only compute where we're at in the world. But there is a spiritual realm. There is a spirit realm out there far beyond what we can even think or imagine. And the angel came to Daniel and appeared and said, hey, listen, I was delayed. I was fighting another battle. I had some stuff to do on my way to you, but I want you to rest assured as soon as you began to pray. Church, that's my encouragement to you this morning. Don't stop praying. As soon as you began, you've been praying for the same thing a long while, some of us decades, but as soon as you began to pray, an answer was given. Don't wait on your timing. God's got the perfect timing. It's on the way. Listen to this, how Jesus says it. Mark 11. I got to give this to you. Mark the 11th chapter says it this way. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus says, I love how Eugene Peterson articulates it. He says, Jesus was matter of fact. Embrace this God life, Jesus says. Really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, and when he talks about mountains in this passage, he's talking about the things that are seemingly impossible. Do you have anything like that in your life? You look at it and it's big like a mountain. It's intimidating like a mountain. You see it as an impossibility. You see it as seemingly hopeless, right? He says, this mountain, for instance, just say to it, hey, go jump in the lake. No shuffling or shilly-shallying, and it's as good as done. Why did he say, tell it, go jump in the lake? Well, maybe he was reminding them that he walks on water. And he walked on the sea. He walked on the lake. He came walking to them in the midnight hour. Maybe Jesus wants to remind you that no matter how big that mountain is in your life, what claims to be over your head is really under the feet of Jesus. And by the way, if you're following him, it's under your feet. Come on. Amen. So he says, no shilling or shallying. It's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray. Pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything. And when you assume the posture of prayer, he says, when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not all asking. Listen now, are your ears awake, church? This is where it gets a little hard. This is where some of us start to grind a little bit in that third gear, which we've all done. If you have anything against anyone, forgive. It got really quiet in here. I know. If you're anything like me, that's hard to do, right? Only then will your heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of sin. If you're bitter, if you're angry, if you're living in strife, if you're offended, he says, forgive. Uh-oh, I heard some grinding. Hey, join the party. How do you do it? You do it in prayer. Look what Jesus did. Even Jesus prayed with people who offended him. Jesus prays from the cross, bleeding to death. He prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Praying a forgiving prayer is not an easy thing to do when you've been wounded, when you've been hurt, when you've been betrayed. Forgiveness is hard, but forgiveness is a huge part of prayer. Jesus models that. How's your prayer life? Jesus said, whatever you ask for in prayer, Lord, help me to forgive that person, God. I'm having a hard time. I'm dealing with anger and bitterness, Lord. They've offended me again. Lord, would you please help me? It's hard. I'm holding a grudge against them. Jesus says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you've received it and it will be yours. The words of Jesus this morning. Those are healing words. Those are helping words. Those are hope-filled words. It was only after prayer that the first century Jesus followers unleashed hope to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, beginning in a city that wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Did you know Seattle is number 10 on the list of most post-Christian cities in the entire United States of good old America? We're number 10 on the list. We did it! Yay! Wait, what? What does post-Christian mean? People are like, what does that mean, Pastor Ryan? Post-Christian. That means people don't want anything to do with Jesus. It was only after prayer that the first century church of Jesus followers unleashed hope to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, a city that wanted nothing to do with Jesus. They killed him. They literally murdered him there. Dear future self, get down on your knees, as James says, before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. Dear future self, James 4, verse 10, get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet in your relationships. Ryan, it's the only way you'll get on your feet in your finances. Ryan, it's the only way you'll get on your feet in your job. It's the only way you'll get on your feet in your ministry. It's the only way, church, you'll get on your feet with your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations. It's the only way you'll get on your feet with being effective at telling people with the gospel. It's through prayer. Dear future self, as Jesus encouraged his disciples, get up and pray. Get up and pray. I heard him tell me the other morning I was tired. The alarm went off at 4:55. Was early, somebody. I didn't feel like praying, but I could just hear Jesus saying, get up and pray. We're moving into the fourth gear. Five gears to shift through with Jesus. Number one, follow Jesus wherever he leads you. Number two, live confident with the blessing of Jesus. Number three, lead like Jesus from a prayer posture. Gear number four, we're shifting in, and it says this, keep joyful as evidence of Jesus in you. Keep joyful into the new year as evidence of Jesus in you. Scripture says this, it says, they returned to Jerusalem bursting with great joy. Wait, hold on. They went back to the city, the people that were responsible for murdering their Savior. They went back there with all the bullying and terrorizing and all. They went back there bursting with, as the New International Version says, great joy. What? How is that possible? Let's do this right now. Let's do this. Let's take a joy meter test. Can we do that? All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being no, not at all, and 10 being, oh, yeah. Are you a joyful person? Are you a joyful person? In your head, rate yourself. Give yourself a score. Well, yes, I'm a joyful person. Can't you tell? What's your problem, by the way? Right? Or... oh, yeah. Well, praise God, I'm a joyful person. I wish this was on a scale of 1 to 100 because I'd circle 101. Ah! Right? There's two different types of people in here this morning. And then there are the people who are like, I'm not going to take your stupid test. I didn't come to church to take no test. Who cares if I'm joyful or not? Right? There's all of us. Okay? But if you want to play along, are you a joyful person? All right? No, this isn't for me. I don't need you to tell me yes. Rate yourself. Are you okay? And then on the same scale, 1 to 10, 1 being need some help, and 10 being rate your time with Jesus. I call it coffee with Jesus. Rate your time with the Lord. Do you take time with him every day? Do you take time to talk with him every day? Rate your time. What is it? What's the quality of time? Yeah, I got it done. Check it off my list. Onto my to-dos. Rate your time with Jesus. Somebody could circle a 1 or a 2 or a 3 that says, well, I need help, but I need God to help me. Another person can circle 10. Well, I'm Jesus' first cousin. Right? There's many different people in here this morning. And you know what's cool is Jesus wants a relationship with all of us. Jesus wants all Seattle to witness, friends, how he's loved you, how he's forgiven you, how he's saved you when you needed him most. The early Jesus followers, why are we doing this morning? Why am I talking about this in this gear? Because here's why. The early Jesus followers modeled the simplest way of articulating Jesus' hope-filled message is by being joyful. Joy hyphen full. Are you full? Do you need a refill? You see, nowadays, we're used to refills. As a kid, I was like, I get to have a refill of soda? What? Did you hear there's free refills? This is amazing. Isn't it the same way when we're young Christians? Wow, I get to spend time with Jesus and he's going to refill me with more joy. This is absolutely incredible. And then we get used to it. No, I don't need a refill. I'm good. No, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need a refill. Free refills, everyone does that. I can get that at any church. I can get that anywhere, right? We get used to it. We get used to stuff. But how's your time with the Lord? How's your joy meter doing? My prayer over you this morning, here's the encouragement. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, this is not a message all about go save the world. No, this is a message all about spend some time with Jesus so people start asking what's different in your life and your joy is an evidence of him and they ask questions and you can lead them to find and follow Jesus. There's a distinct difference. When you have joy, you have hope because joy is fruit, Spirit, the scripture says. It's the fruit and the evidence of Jesus' resurrection spirit in you. How can it be? Some of you know my dad went through prostate cancer surgery a week or so ago, and some of you know I flew down to be with him. And how is it that for the third time in a row he's gone through this cancer thing, my father? How is it that he can walk into the hospital with a smile on his face, joking with the nurses, joking with the doctors? How is it after surgery he can wake up and he can be doing the same thing, smiling and everything? Hey, it's great. And how can it be that he gets up and he wants to walk sooner than he's supposed to and he's going down the halls of the hospital and he's greeting people and he's trying to lead people to Jesus? Come on, somebody. How is it that he can have a smile on his face when he's going through something so traumatic and terrible like cancer a third time? How is it that he can overflow? How, you ask? The psalmist David said it this way. It says, you fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I'll tell you how. It's because he has a relationship with Jesus. Joy is a byproduct of knowing Jesus. Let's shift into gear 5. 5 gears to shift through with Jesus. Number 1, follow Jesus wherever he leads you. Number 2, live confident with the blessing of Jesus. I've got to finish. Number 3, lead like Jesus from a prayer posture. Number 4, keep joyful as evidence of Jesus. And we're shifting into gear number 5, be a Jesus-centered follower. Now, that seems so simple, I know. Be a Jesus-centered follower. But it's not that simple because Jesus, friends, doesn't want fair-weather fans. He wants fully devoted followers. Let me say it this way. Barna Research, you can go there, barna.com, look it up. Barna Research did a study and found that only 1 in 10 U.S. Christians today, that's 10% of people who say, I'm a follower, I'm a Jesus follower, yay. Only 10% of those who declare that say, quote unquote, following Jesus shapes my whole life. In other words, only 10% of Christians say, yeah, I'm all in. Whatever, however, wherever, whenever, I'm a Jesus follower. I spend time with him every day. He shapes my way of thinking, speaking, and doing. It's only 10%. One out of every 10. One out of every 10 in this room this morning, if Barna is correct in their research, says, I take time with Jesus. He shapes my entire being. I remember Jesus impressing and putting something in my heart. I was going. I was going to burn out. I was in that place. I was going to burn out. And he told me, slow down. This was at a pivotal point. This was at a turning point in my life. I'd been through some stuff. It had been hard. There's not enough time for me to go into the entire story, but it was hard. Very difficult. And he said, slow down. You know, a lot of us mask what we're going through by just getting busier. We just speed up. We're hurting inside, but we want everyone to think everything's fine. So we just, how you doing? Busy. Why is that a good answer? We always say, how you doing? Oh, very busy. Very, very busy. Like that's good. Like that's a badge to wear. He said, slow down, Ryan. Next, he said, listen. Listen. Shh. Listen. It's like my middle son who he's just going. And he comes to me with his homework one day and he goes, Dad, I don't get it. I go, slow down. He goes, I don't get these instructions. I'm reading it. It doesn't make sense. I said, slow down. Listen. Then he's going, I said, listen. Okay. I read the instructions very slowly, articulate them, and he goes, oh, I didn't hear that. I didn't know that. How did I miss that? And he goes back and does it. Listen, we've got to slow down in life to hear what God is doing. He speaks in the quiet places. And then he said, rest. Slow down, listen, and rest. Rest. Why, huh? What's that mean? Rest. Rest as God works. Rest. Where some of us just work. We're just working so hard. And he's saying, rest. You know, the opposite of stress is relax. Just look at somebody next to you and go, relax. Relax. Uh-oh, you just offended somebody. Now we got to go back to third gear. Just kidding. Dear future self, Jesus works in times of quietness through prayer. I love this. The chapter we read says they spent all their time in the temple praising God. All their time was spent praising God. Dear future self, how do you plan to spend your time in 2020? Dear future self, how will you spend your 31,622,400 seconds next year? Now, it would be 31,536,000 seconds, but this next year's leap year. And how many know leap year? My beautiful wife was born on February 29th. Is that cool? Do we have any other leap year babies in here? Hey! Come on! That's awesome! I didn't know that. Very cool. It's very cool. She's going to be 10 years old. We can talk about that later. But real quick, how to not be Jesus-centered. Okay, this point that we're on now is be a Jesus-centered follower. How to not be Jesus-centered. Number one, live selfishly, not selflessly. Live selfishly by making your life's slogan, me, myself, and my. How to not be a Jesus-centered follower. Number two, never pray, never read your Bible, and avoid church community at all cost. How to not be a Jesus-centered follower. Number three, live offended and hold grudges against everyone who has wronged you. On the contrary, listen, friends, we see the early disciples were Jesus-centered and they were attractional. You know, being Jesus-centered is attractional. Let me say it this way. Scripture says, look, people in general liked what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added. Acts 2:47. People liked what they saw. When people meet you and they see, do they like who they meet? Do they like who they see? Are you attractional? Did you know light attracts? Light is attractional. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the most attractive thing out there. He says he draws people with his kindness. His loving kindness is intended for repentance, Paul says. Are you attractional? How do I get attractional? Well, let's move into fifth gear. Let's be a Jesus-centered follower where everything we do revolves around Jesus. Dear future self, be a Jesus-centered follower. I love this. So here the disciples are. Jesus blesses them. They're conversing. He opens the scriptures to them. They're praying. They worship him, and they see him ascend. They watch his feet go up and ascend. And in the background, you can see mountains. You can see the remember the Olympics or the Cascades, or you see Mount Rainier as his feet just they go up and up and up. And it reminds me. Of what Nahum said. He said, look, there on the mountains. Look there on the mountains. Remember mountains, what we talked about earlier. Impossibilities. Seemingly hopeless things in your life. Look there on the mountains. Nahum 1:15 says, the feet of one who brings good news, who proclaims peace. Some of us in this place need that word this morning. Look, come on. God gave me this word for you this morning. Look, they're on the mountains. They're on top of your impossibilities. The things you're looking in the face of 2020 going, how's it going to work? How's it going to happen? Look, they're on the mountains. Oh, I was crying in the car when the Lord gave this to me the other morning, and I just said, thank you, Jesus. Look there on the mountains of disease. Look there on the mountains of relationship issues. Look there on the mountains of finances. Look there on the mountains of job. Look there on the mountains of things that are seemingly impossible. The feet of Jesus, what claims to be over your head, Ryan, is really under your feet. Come on, somebody. What claims to be over your head this morning is really under the feet of Jesus, under your feet this morning. Look there on the mountains, the feet of the one as he ascends, who brings good news. I have good news for you this morning. Jesus proclaims peace over your life. He proclaims peace over your body. He proclaims peace over your aching joints. He proclaims peace over your family. He proclaims peace over your soul that is hurting and tormented. He proclaims peace over the lawsuit that's been filed against you and you're asking why. It's a big mountain like Rainier, like a huge thing that seems impossible, but he's proclaiming peace. Look there on the mountains. It's time you start seeing yourself as Jesus sees you. You're on top. You're not under it anymore. Get that out of your spirit this morning. Close your eyes if you would this morning and bow your heads with me. This is a word that God gave me for you. I'm passionate this morning because I so want you to hear the heart of the Lord. Dear future self, now is the time to shift gears. Now is the time. Jesus' ascension is your salvation. Jesus' ascension this morning. Look there on the mountains. Oh God, help us. Teach us, Lord Jesus, to shift gears in relationship with you. With every head bowed and eye closed this morning, there are some here. You've done like I've done in years past and times past, and you don't have joy. You don't have peace. It's hard. You're in a place of maybe seeming hopelessness. And I've learned that men, women, boys, and girls who don't have joy or peace in their heart will spend an entire lifetime trying to fill it and find it in a million different ways. You'll spend your whole life doing it. I know what I'm talking about. I've done it. I've looked in position. I've looked in popularity. I've looked in social status. I've looked in a certain tax bracket. I've looked in health, overeating, undereating. I've looked in substance abuse. Come on. I've looked in sex. I've tried a million different things. And you know what I found? I found that the only place where there's hope, real hope, not artificial hope, authentic hope with real joy and with real peace, not temporary, but the same joy that the disciples had, is in Jesus. Wow. I tell you, I'm passionate about it this morning because I want to tell as many people as I possibly can about the love, the life, the joy, the peace, the hope found in Jesus. This morning, if you've decided, you know what, I found hope here in this place, and I want to be a Jesus follower, would you pray with me, Pastor Ryan? At the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand if you want to make a decision today to be a Jesus follower. You found hope and you want to follow Jesus. The count of three. And I only ask you to raise your hand so I know who to pray for. One, two, three. Would you just lift your hand so I can pray with you? Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah. You say, I want to follow Jesus. I want, fill me, Jesus, with your joy. I need joy. Fill me, God, with peace. Proclaim peace over my situation right now. I need you. I'm calling. The Bible says everyone who calls help, God, gets help. Is that you this morning? Come on, anyone else? All right. The man who raised your hand, just pray this prayer with me. Father, Jesus, I believe in you. Please forgive me of my mistakes. Please come into my heart and help me live wholeheartedly with you. I follow you from this day forward. And Lord, I pray over every member of this church, over every person part of this body of Christ this morning, part of this great family of Calvary. And I pray in the strong name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor, and may the Lord give you his peace. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow in Seattle and around the world with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, if you receive it and you believe it, would you say amen? Amen. Stand with me and let's...